is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second hour of The Usual Suspects starts right now on ESPN 97.5 as we're already covering some ground, having some good discussions. But here's the discussion that needs to be had amongst the Houston community of sports fans that loves baseball, because there was a Bob Nightingale report
today, USA Today.
Okay, and you really had to read carefully, but he suggested the Astros were about to hire Dusty Baker. If you scan right now, and maybe it's different since we got on the air, but up until we hit the air, I could not find anybody to verify that. I did find people that verified that Bob Nightingale has had a very solid relationship with Dusty Baker over the years. They might even be very good friends. That's a, you know, you're talking about all the different things with sports media. That's another problem.
Yeah, sources.
A problem in which it's one thing to have sources. It's another thing to do a solid for a friend.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe they are a finalist. Maybe they're not. But in the process, maybe the organization is still contemplating who to select. And lo and behold, an article comes out and goes, this is the hands down best selection for your team.
Yeah. It's one, first of all, it's one thing to have sources. It's one thing to vet them. And then, you know, you got all these hack ass quote sports media folks that go, oh, sources tell me, and they're just making stuff up. They right. don't have a source
right.
well, because yeah. they can hide behind the fact that, well, I don't have to divulge it to you. That means you can just make stuff up. And that's what they do.
And let's be fair, because the other thing that I left out and I omitted in terms of sources is an agent could call you
yeah.
and say, hey, my client's about to be traded to or sign with.
Just to fool you.
Just to get the other team to react and go, whoa. And then again, like you said, you never give up who the source is, so they never get called out onto the carpet.
So in this case, in the article, it says Astros franchise is in the crosshairs, is about to choose Dusty Baker to be their next manager, according to a person familiar with the hiring. The person spoke to USA Today on the condition of anonymity because Baker's contract has yet to be finalized. Baker is 70 years old, three-time National League Manager of the Year, guided four teams to 9 postseason berths, 7 division titles, and an NL pennant. And then the article just talks about why he's the perfect choice.
Now, do you believe he's the perfect choice? Because here's the thing to me. Over 1,800 wins, all the things that you said, three-time Manager of the Year, all these other things, but the bottom line is he's never won a World Series as a manager. Hell of a player.
Yeah.
But also old school. So we don't know if, one, he is okay with analytics. Is he open to accepting analytics? Because we know that the Astros are an analytics-driven team.
Well, and that stemmed from your GM and your manager.
Right.
So maybe they bring in a less heavy analytical GM to pair up with Dusty Baker. And so you won't need a manager that's as heavy on the analytics. Maybe Dusty's more old school. Hey, I just wanted to listen to my scouts. If my scouts say he can hit, or you know, if this or that or the other, I don't know. Dusty wouldn't have been my first choice.
Mine either.
Because he's old. I mean, and he's 70, and his name is Dusty. That's old.
I'm not worried about that. That's your cat.
He's
it
Dusty.
Sounds like your cat should have been named Dusty.
Well, he's
based
Dusty.
On what your cat does. But
so I would have gone with, like I said, we talked about Osmus and Bannister and what's the cat's name from Toronto. Those, I think, would
Givens.
Have all been fine choices ahead of Showalter and Dusty Baker. Am I going to lose my mind? No, because I think Dusty Baker is a good manager.
But let me get back
really
to what
do.
You said, though.
And I think, and the big thing, and remember, I said this last week, why you might tab Dusty Baker to be your manager is he managed through the Bonds
yes,
steroid
absolutely.
Era.
Yeah.
And that could be the absolute biggest reason why they brought in Dusty Baker. Hey, get us through this again like you did before.
So let me ask you about what you just said, though. Then maybe you find a less analytical general manager, too. But isn't that a mistake? Because for all of the cheating scandal, otherwise, the Astros have had a large amount of success that can be tied back to their analytics. Gerrit Cole was enamored with all the analytics he got when he got to Houston, as well as the advanced scouting and the video and all the other things. Don't you feel like that would actually hurt the team as a whole if just because you went with an old school manager and then you doubled down and got an old school general manager, that you hurt the franchise because you took a step back in terms of how analytical you were and how you processed and used statistical information?
I think it would, but I don't think that it's going to go away. I think Dusty may not manage by the analytics, but I think that the analytics department still exists. I think that Brent Strom, I think that the hitting coaches, I think that, you know, they're still going to have the video department. I think all of that still happens. I think Brent Strom still sits his pitchers down and they review video and they talk about spin rate and look at pitch selection and do all those things. I just don't think Dusty Baker manages in game strictly on analytics. I think instead, you know, AJ Hinch didn't care about having a lefty in the bullpen. Dusty Baker's going to have a lefty in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. And that's the difference between managing via analytics or managing by quote by the book, right? So I think that'll be some of the difference is, hey, Dusty Baker loves a lefty-on-lefty matchup. But A.J. Hinch didn't. He was like, well, Chris Devinsky can get lefties out with his – with his, But, so we're not worried about it. I think that you'll see Dusty Baker manage on the field differently. The Astros and the analytics, that's not changing. That's baseball now. That's not changing.
More so than anything else, too, with analytics or old school, new school, everything, it comes down to having the respect and the ear of your players – and the acceptance of your players. And so I think that the one thing he does have going for him is you can say all the things about his managerial resume, but the most important thing, too, was he played the game, and he played it at a high level, and he played it in one World Series with the Dodgers. And so players respect players. I know that. And so if you played the game, you can walk into a room and you can probably gain the respect of a lot of guys in your clubhouse initially.
You think
now,
so?
I do. And I've seen it happen in the NBA time and time again.
You think, I mean, Dusty Baker probably what was his...
He was in the 70s when he played for the Dodgers.
Yeah, that's 40, 50 years
but
ago.
But if he's won a ring, if he's done some things...
Bro, that'd be like, listen, and I don't mean to disrespect him. No, let me finish. I'm not disrespecting him. But that's like Barry Warner coming in and telling us how to do radio. And I don't mean that to be a joke or mean or anything like that. I respect the hell out of Barry Warner, radio Hall of Famer, and all those things, right? But if Barry Warner were to come in and tell us that we shouldn't curse so much or make so many jokes or do this or that, I'm not going to – again, I respect him, but that was a different era of what you did.
Hear what I said. I think when he walks into a locker room for the first time that he's going to have the respect of players because he's played the game, he's managed the game, and from his experience level, that they'll respect that. I think that you have to retain that respect by maintaining a positive relationship with all these guys. So as long as you've done your due diligence within your own locker room, and you've talked to everybody from the veterans like Verlander to the younger guys, to say, you know, like Bregman, to say, are you okay? Can you get? Is this your kind of guy you can get your hitch your wagon to?
Well, he's definitely going to be the first Astro to crack an old man joke, for sure.
Who?
Alex Bregman.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
if it's gonna be anybody in the clubhouse,
I'd say be a genie.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
but be a genie needs to make sure he's got a job. So I don't know that he's gonna.
Look, Dusty's known as a player's manager, and I'm not suggesting that they won't respect him, but I just don't think that they're like, oh, he's the like. It's a different era, and I mean, you got an old school player and an old school manager, and I think that they respect him because of the things that he's done as both a player and a manager. But I tell you what. If things go south because he's not managing the way that they used to, or he's not using the tools available to him via analytics, I don't know how long that lasts.
Well, it's going to be interesting to find out. And again, we don't know for sure if that is their choice and that everything is done. Randy McAvoy from Channel 2 reporting that talks are ongoing, but nothing has been final. But if he knows that there are talks going on, that normally means it's just a precursor to the inevitable. So we'll have to see how it all plays out. And again, they don't have a general manager. So your point's a good one in terms of regardless of if he's old school, new school, or anywhere in between school, what it's going to come down to is there has to be a great working relationship with the general manager, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But there has to be some kind of synergy and agreement on analytics and how much and if at all.
I agree. You've got that's going to be weird. And I wonder how much say Dusty's going to have in that.
It's a valid
question.
It's a
weird thing to let your manager pick his boss.
It's really you like saw what the happened cart with Bill in front O'Brien. Of the horse, right?
They let Bill O'Brien do it. I don't even want to mention his name. We just got to start calling it the B word.
That's your guy.
No.
He's the head coach of your favorite team.
No. I don't know. I'm rooting for them as long as he's there. We've established that. Not happening. I was trying to look it up because, you know, he most recently was the manager of the Washington Nationals, who we all know won the World Series this year. Well, it wasn't that long ago that he was with this team. And it's a different team. They've got different players. But it just kind of shows you the fact that he never really won as a manager. And that's a little concerning to me. Not that everybody else on the list had, you know, World Series after World Series. But his record in the playoffs, his postseason record,
it's not good, man.
11-13 with the Giants, 6-6 with the Cubs, 2-7 with the Reds, and 4-6 with the Nationals. He had a less than 42% winning percentage in the playoffs. That's not great. I will say, because a lot of people crapped on me for wanting Brad Ausmus, and we talked about the fact that when A.J. Hinch was with the Diamondbacks, he won less than 43% of his games or 44% of his games. So it wasn't anything, you know, it wasn't like he was just winning 70% of everything he managed in. He wasn't a good manager in Arizona. So it's all about fit. Well, you got a young analytical team and an old school manager. To me, fit is a concern.
There you have it. All right, so that's the latest on the Astros front. If you want to chime in on that or anything else, 713-780-3776. Text that number, or you can call that number. And, of course, you can always hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Wow. So, we're going to get to Rockets, right?
Yes.
Just noticed something. I had put something on the rundown. I didn't even know if we were gonna get to it. I don't know if you guys saw this or not.
Okay.
But the NFL has gotten with the police, and they are investigating NFL websites getting hacked. All right. Amongst those that got hacked yesterday were the Bears, the Packers, and others, in which the site that was getting involved in the hack, who calls itself Our Mind, announces we're back and we want to show people that everything is hackable. In the Packers account, it said, "Hi, we're back, Our Mind. We're here to show people everything is hackable." It then provided an email address for information on how to improve your account's security. I say that to say this. During the break, as we always do, we check and see if there's anything breaking or any news that we might have missed.
Well, y'all do.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
ESPN's blue checked site says, "Hi, it's Our Mind again."
Oh, no.
"Well, internet security still is bad in this world, so we are back. Today will be crazy, so be ready for the news. ESPN, contact us to help you in fixing this issue. Visit ourmind.org for security services and for sponsorships. Contact
hate people like
us."
That. Hate dorks like that.
It's a big deal.
It is a big
deal. It's one thing, and they're getting NFL teams. Now they're getting ESPN, too.
So
they
ESPN obviously are good at Twitter their job. Or what? Which part of ESPN?
ESPN Twitter.
Ooh. Let me see. Is it still hacked?
34.8 million followers, and it's out there with a tweet that says, "Hey, it's Our Mind again."
Oof.
I would be concerned.
It's funny that they put "contact us to help you fixing this issue."
Yeah, they're not hiding from the fact that they did it.
Well, fellas, we knew Iran was going to attack at some point. Here it is. They said it was going to be cyber. Boy, first Gal Media.
That wasn't
it. Then the ESPN. No. Oh, my God.
God forbid Trump. It was the ESPN local account.
What have you done, Trump?
Up the national.
I'm just going to start tweeting that out. I'm just going to be like, Nick Sciarra is a hoe-ass bitch. Hey, it's Our Mind again. This account has been hacked. Nick sucks.
They need to call the internet security guy from Shark Tank. He's one of the sharks on Shark Tank, the Canadian guy.
Yes.
Robert something. I forgot his last name.
Yes, I know what you're talking about. Don't call the McAfee guy. The guy that invented the McAfee antivirus.
Didn't he like murder people?
He's crazy. I need to watch his, there's a documentary on him that I haven't watched
yet. I've seen it.
Apparently,
it's fantastic.
He's cuckoo, apparently.
He's disgusting.
Yeah.
To be honest.
But that's crazy that ESPN.
How about it, right?
And NFL. Did they hack the Texans? Be like, hey guys. Boy, wouldn't it be cold-blooded if they were like, hey guys, on the Texans website, Bill O'Brien has been let go. Everybody's like, yeah, they're like, just kidding. We hacked. This is our mind. Call us. Be like, you sons of bitches.
Yeah.
Boy, I'd be mad.
So there, that's out there. Also,
Chris Vanini, who I don't know who Chris Vanini is. Apparently, I don't follow him. Oh, it's because I'm searched for at ESPN. But Chris Vanini, national college football reporter for The Athletic,
He
put, boy, this battle between ESPN deleting a hacked tweet and the hacking group continuing to repost it is intense. Of course, he put intense instead of intense.
Are you correcting his spelling?
Two words. No?
You're blocked.
I think I did.
Yeah.
Damn it. But apparently they keep deleting it, and the hackers keep hacking them and reposting it.
Someone right now at ESPN's IT department in Bristol is not having a good day. They're in big trouble. Yeah, they are in big trouble.
Well, they're not firing them right now because they need them to stop the hack.
Exactly,
so fire
them
out.
No, guys, you're good. You're good. Just figure it out. All right, we got it. All right, get your ass out. What?
Yeah, there'll be time for the firing tomorrow after you solve the problem today.
Trust me, with all the years I spent in IT, seen it plenty of times.
Really?
So
fix this problem because in about 6 hours or maybe even 24, I'm firing your ass.
Well, what it is,
I wish I could do that to Barry.
You would hear this in meetings. Listen, it's too late. You can't unring the bell. It's too late to point fingers. Let's just solve it. And when you hear that from a director of IT or a VP of IT, someone's going to get their ass fired when this is over with. But right now, everyone just needs to fix it. And the sad thing is everyone in the room, no one really knows who's going to get fired yet. Is it going to be the security analyst or his boss or his coworkers, or it could be was it the PC, the desktop guys that didn't keep the antivirus? Like, there's all kinds of people that probably get fired.
My favorite dynamic of like an IT or a guy that's going through that type of trouble where he has to get something fixed and fixed immediately is his body language versus the body language of all the other employees who are not in IT and have nothing to do with the problem and do not have to worry about it.
It's funny.
Because he's just walking past people. Get out of my way.
Bro, I can remember working 48 hours straight.
Oh, my
God,
I would
hate you. Not leaving, not going home, not sleeping.
Jeez.
Like, there were times. Listen, we were doing this big rollout for Cisco Foods, and we had to come up with the way that we did the upgrade and the rollout for these facilities, where they keep the food and where they do all the shipping from. And you're talking about millions of dollars an hour if that facility goes down. And we were in New York. Of all places, we were in New York, and the facility went down because of what we did. And no one left. 48 hours straight trying to get that facility online before Monday. It went down like on a Saturday morning. And Monday morning about 10:30, we had it back up and running. But I tell you what, they lost millions over the weekend. And, it was ugly. Ugly. But, yeah, that's the IT life. Boy, I'm so glad I don't do that anymore. Staying up all hours of the night trying to fix stuff because some stupid-ass idiot didn't put a rule or a filter on a firewall somewhere. Craziness.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
crazy,
it.
Crazy, crazy.
So that'll basically take us to the end of the first half of the show. Still 90 minutes to go. That means lots more to get to. We need to start off the second half by talking about a late night excursion into Salt Lake City for your Rockets. No Capella, no Harden.
Surprise!
No Westbrook. No problem. We'll talk about that next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97, 590 in the books. 90 still to go in the show as we hit quarter number three. Nick's here. I'm here.
I'm here. Don't even try.
Barry's here.
Boy, he wanted to.
Nothing of the sort because I'm a team player and I love you guys. So the one story we haven't touched on yet was what happened late night in Salt Lake City last night. As I mentioned, signing off the first half of the show, getting ready for the second half, was the fact that the Rockets went into Salt Lake last night. The odds were against them, literally, as the spread was
trade
very
hard
much,
and keep Gordon.
Amen, brother.
There's a lot of people, too, that said that they loved the fact that we weren't afraid to say what we said about considering trading Harden.
One person told me I was a dumbass.
So, oh, and you think it was just one?
That's basically the ratio we normally get, isn't it?
No, I'm not even trying to be funny. Really, just one person? And when you consider the Rockets fan base and what you said, it was just one? That's actually
that's all I saw. I saw one person tell me that it was that I was a dumbass. Or, they called me. You know what they called me? Boy, this really made me mad. They said I had dumbass sports takes. And that I was the Josh Ennis of ESPN 97.5.
I see the resemblance, but I don't see the takes.
Okay.
Yeah, you guys are equally as big for sure.
Oh. Bro.
What? Just spitting facts.
You're hitting below the belt.
I've got sources.
There's
a
point where it goes too far. You just took it there. Okay? You just crossed the line.
That dude's big.
Yeah. And now you're saying that he's big. And also,
you talking about popularity or?
I think that's what he meant at all.
So
that would hurt, by the way.
My bad.
Just we'll move on.
No, not yours. From the fact
not
that
yours.
We weren't
you're
afraid
just a punk
to bring
ass.
That up.
Not yours.
Last night the spread was heavily favored in front of the Jazz for the Jazz. Then of course Clint Capella out, Westbrook out, joins Harden out, three of the five starters out. Spread only moved 3 points, by the way. So I don't know if the Capella's not worth that much or they already thought it was going to be
your
an ass-kicking. But, Nick, I know you think he's an Adonis of a specimen. Yeah. But
Nick would hit it.
Eric Gordon, 50-piece. Eric Gordon, career-high, 50 points. Austin Rivers had a great game. Daniel House had some great moves to the basket and couldn't finish a dunk to save his life. But you know what? The whole team had this really kind of unique concept of moving the ball, sharing it, attacking the basket.
Hmm.
And lo and behold, they beat the Jazz at home, who had won 19 of their last 21.
Yeah. Listen, of all the games that they had down the stretch, this was the one that I thought was a for sure loss for several reasons. Because it was back-to-back in altitude, because the Jazz have been so hot, because they have been so not. And then you find out that everybody's resting, and you're like, oh, hell. They might lose by 90.
Yeah, we'll get back to the fact that that win, coupled with the Mavs beating the Thunder.
Boy, it just killed me.
Turned Nostradamus into Nostradumbass.
Yeah, Nostradumbass. That's probably right.
But you know what? Good for Eric Gordon, because now he's in the 50-point club in terms of, you know, doing it in a Rockets jersey, right? Murphy, Hakeem, Harden.
Yep.
So now he's in that club. So good for him.
Well, everybody likes to be included. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Watching all of that last night tells me that, boy, you got some reserves that actually could do more. They're just not being allowed to.
Mm.
Like, you take the ball hog that sucks the life out of the offense away, and suddenly the rest of the guys look like they can play. Because with him, a lot of times Daniel House looks like he does not belong.
So weird where he's come from. You would think he would have evolved a lot more, but
now I didn't watch the game.
Okay,
but I'm looking at the box score and percentages and whatnot. And Rockets shot 37.5% from 3-point range. Jazz, did they do him a favor? Only shooting 28% from behind the arc. I see that they took 42 3-point shots, which was two more than the Rockets took, and only shot 28%. Is this a case of excellent perimeter defense by the Rockets or just cold shooting by the Jazz? I don't know. I didn't watch. I'm talking about the Jazz and ability to make a three-point shot last
something
night.
To that.
Going 12 of 42. Was it good Rockets defense? Bad shooting. I don't know which.
It was bad shooting, in my opinion. And also, it was a Utah team that came in very confident thinking they were going to get this win. and then thought that at any moment they could turn it on and just make a bunch of threes and were rushing threes up there at a high rate and missing them and really shooting themselves in the foot more than they were making shots. And I think that combination...
They missed those two.
Probably right. They missed the toes anyway. Overall, it was a Rockets team that hung around all night. And then when Utah kept forcing the threes, they capitalized in transition. And they've got big-time performances from guys that, like I said, that normally kind of forgotten about role players that people were criticizing for not being able to do it anymore, were guys that just stepped to the forefront and said, all we needed was an opportunity to have our hands on the ball and do some things, and they did it. And I will say this on House's behalf. He had three dunks that he missed. Mm. He makes any one of them, and he's number one play on SportsCenter. They were ridiculously athletic plays. He just didn't finish. Great win.
He went 2 of 5 from three-point range. So that's, I mean, looking at it, they shot 37%, almost 38%, 15 of 40 from behind the three-point line. That's really good. And you like seeing the fact that, you know, you had Rivers and House both getting 20-plus, along with Eric Gordon getting 50. You talked about the fact that there was ball movement and everything else. I wish I would have seen it because it probably was the most fun Rocket game to watch all year.
They had to play like a team. Reps help, yeah, man. And when Harden, unfortunately, when Harden and Russ is on the court, when they're on the court, they don't get as many. Reps help, you know, and these rest days might help them build some confidence. Because when you get 21 points out of Daniel House, I mean, it makes this team so dangerous. Guys like Rivers, guys like House, it's so important for them to be able to go off in any given night. And they haven't been able to do that, man. It's good to see them getting the reps. That's, to me, that's the big plus.
Okay, but can we talk about something?
Sure.
And again, didn't watch the game, don't have any idea about the flow of the offense or anything else. But why is P.J. Tucker again with 9 points, 1 for 3 from three-point range? This looks like the stat line when Harden and Westbrook play. What has happened where P.J. Tucker is no longer an integral part of this Rockets offense? Because it's not, because neither of those guys are on the floor, and it looks like the same stat line as if they were. What happened?
I do not know.
What's the explanation?
Wasn't he dealing with the what
he's got
injury?
A stinger. He's been dealing with the stinger.
So that's not cool.
Is that it?
I mean, that's not easy to get over, I would imagine.
I would agree.
Without,
yeah, is that it?
Saying it, he said that he has been really struggling with a very painful and uncomfortable stinger, and the only way to get it to make a recover, get it better per se, is rest. And he goes, and we don't have time for that right now.
Okay.
So he's essentially making excuses for
his poor
missing
play.
Shots.
So this is starting to become a detriment to the team then. If you've got a guy on the floor that can't shoot or make his shots, at some point you got to go, hey, man, look, if Russ can take a night off on a back-to-back, you need to start taking some nights off as well and get that shoulder better, because your shooting has been awful. Your stat line, and I told you guys, the last couple of weeks I've watched him, I have not been impressed with P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't. This isn't the same guy that Joel and I were so excited about when he came to this team a few years ago. It's a different looking guy to me on the floor. If it's injury related, then get some rest, because right now you could be hurting this team and not helping them just because you're being and I admire it. I admire you wanting to play and be out there, but sometimes that can hurt the team.
It can. If he's just being out there just because he's a tough guy, I can definitely see how that can definitely hurt the team. You don't want to be able to do that. One thing I will say, though, about PJ is that he does a good job of recognizing when he's not hitting shots. He's not going to be a James Harden or a Russell Westbrook. And as much as I pooped on Ryan Anderson, he was another guy. When he knew he wasn't hitting shots, he would stop at about 8, 9, 10 shots. That's kind of what he did. Now, I don't know if this is a result of the stinger that Joel's referring to, or he's just – or the rest – or if he's just being Mr. Tough Guy. I don't know, because I haven't been around the team as much as I should. But, I mean, I think it's going to be really hard to win a game if you have all three of those players out and P.J. Tucker.
Yeah.
That's really,
well,
really hard.
I'm not
hard.
Suggesting that he should have sat out last night. But, hey, next game, when they're all back.
Yeah, maybe take a day off.
Maybe take another day off, because you're going to get a day off today. I think they play again tomorrow.
They play Portland tomorrow.
Yeah, okay, cool. Guess what, P.J.? Enjoy 3 days off, because you're going to be off on Thursday as well for a Friday game. You get 3 days in a row off. Enjoy it. Get that shoulder better. Come back stronger. Because at this point, it just looks like he's hurting the team. And I admire him wanting to play through it.
I think where, again, you sell him short, though, is just what he means to this team from a defensive standpoint. And with the younger guys, he's a guy that, yeah, the intangibles of being able to tell the younger guys, you were supposed to be here. Unlike James, who will just get in your ear and rip you a new one, PJ's more the guy that goes to the young guys and goes, no, 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 bro, you can't do this, and you need to be here so that they understand for next time. And I get what you're saying on the PER and all the different things about the numbers just don't look like he's anywhere close to a guy that's a valuable commodity with his team. But I continue to tell you that, you know, you don't have to believe me, but he is the heart and soul of this team in terms of the intangibles, the locker room, the big brother approach to a lot of the young guys, the respect that the coaches have for him. So I'm with you, though, that if the shoulder's not right, get it right. And if you're waiting till the All-Star break so that he can get it right, you might be waiting too long, and it might be where you do something else to hurt it even more severely if he's going to be playing major minutes and he hasn't gotten it fixed.
Okay. I you know, maybe that's it. Maybe once he's healthy, I won't question his minutes on the floor. I'm not saying he's playing awful. I'm just saying he doesn't look the same to me that he used to. There's a lot of times where I feel like he's out of position defensively. And I do understand being the heart and soul. I totally get that. Remember back in the day with the Band of Brothers and Jason Terry was the heart and soul of the team? That doesn't mean he should be on the floor all the time.
You came up with that nickname for him, right?
You?
Yeah.
Look at you, buddy.
But I didn't get to capitalize financially. They got to make all the posters and the gear and all the other stuff.
Bands of Brothers.
For all the headbands that they
Yeah, Band of Brothers. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You learned something. You heard it here first.
Here's the problem, too, though. In a game like last night, PJ gets exposed more than most because a lot of times with Clint out, they got him guarding Rudy Gobert. Good luck with that. The size differential alone is just ridiculous.
That's the other thing. Let that man guard some folks his size. Okay, we get it. He's a tough guy, and he can, you know, he can take getting bodied down low. But you know what? That doesn't always mean it's effective.
He can also, like, rest his elbow on the top of your head while he goes to the basket and dunks on you.
Yeah, that's true.
There might be some, we might have to go from the Rockets to the Texans.
That's where I'm heading next because.
Oh, my God.
Barry's guy is going to get what he deserves.
I am just talking about it. I am so glad I'm jumping ship now. I am so done with the Texans.
Yes,
oh, my God.
We're going to come back next.
So
I will give you some news about your Houston Texans after I decide if I can see my toes. Right here on the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN
97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back, finishing up hour number two, 3 hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go, wherever you may be in the big city. And as Nicholas said before the break, we probably need to change gears from your Rockets to your Texans as John McClain and Mark Berman, both first to report this, in a dead heat.
Yeah, both at 2:30.
Your guy, Bill O'Brien, Barry, has officially been named the general manager of the Houston Texans, and Jack Easterby has now received a new title of Vice President of Football Operations.
How's that for an answer?
It's like they doubled down on stupidity. It's like they had an opportunity to go out and get a GM and say, Bill, you report to this guy. This guy's your boss. Literally, Cal McNair could have done the only thing that he could have done worse to make this franchise more of a joke than it is to do this. It's the one thing that you thought, well, at least he hasn't officially given O'Brien the title of GM, so the door is still open to get a GM. And instead what he does is go, nah, we're good with sucking in the playoffs. We're good with blowing leads and being the laughingstock of the NFL when we blow leads to the Colts and the Chiefs and everybody else. Let's keep doing that for the rest of our lives. Let's just double down and just give this guy everything. Good Lord, Cal McNair, sell the team, bro. You suck at this.
And I'm glad you mentioned Cal McNair because I've been the one saying we need to hear from him, right?
Well, you just did.
So he issued a statement, which the Texans just put out on Twitter, in part mentioning the titles and the promotions that we just said. He then finished it with, I was encouraged by the progress that our team made on the field this year, which was due in part to our new structure, operating approach, and the leaders within our football operations group. I'm proud that we provided our fans with many thrilling victories at home, including a playoff win and a thrilling playoff ass kick. No, he didn't say that. And we delivered another double-digit win season. Our fans deserve that, but now it's time for the organization to get back to work towards our pursuit of a world championship for the city of Houston.
Oh, my God. Cowboy, I have never seen someone huff their own farts more than that.
What's worse is that he said it was important to update the title so it can accurately reflect the way we have been operating for the past 8 months.
Oh, but what? I thought he wasn't the GM. I'm not the GM. I'm not the GM.
Yeah, the past 8 months. How about just the past month when he crapped the bed? I almost cursed. When they just laid an absolute egg in the playoffs.
Bro, you gave up seven straight touchdowns on seven straight possessions after you had a 24-point lead.
Oh, my God.
You're good. Your personnel department and your head coach, solid as a loose poop.
I feel like...
terrible.
I feel like this team, and I don't know what spell Bill O'Brien has cast onto Cal McNair and the rest of this franchise and the people above him that have the ability to fire him, which at this point is just Cal. And now you have no opportunity to have someone with a level head. I mean, when you look at organizations like the San Francisco 49ers, who will be playing in the Super Bowl this weekend, they went out and got a young mind to coach their team and a fresh young face and mind to be their GM.
They got crap done.
Not a proven loser in the playoffs, because that is exactly what Bill O'Brien is. He is a great regular season. You know what he is? He's that Bill O'Brien and the Bill O'Brien Texans is that chick that you take on a date who looks amazing. And then when you get home and y'all are ready to have sex and she takes her makeup off and her hair off and her nails off and it's just like, what is this hideous beast? That's Bill O'Brien in the playoffs versus Bill O'Brien in the regular season. He's the hot chick in the regular season. He is an ugly wildebeest in
Are
the playoffs.
Are you saying Bill O'Brien wears fake lashes?
I'm saying this is just unbelievable to me that Cal McNair had the opportunity. He had the perfect opportunity to try to make this franchise better. And I'm telling you, I'm going to reiterate what I said earlier right after the loss. If you're a Texans fan you spend money on this garbage, you're a fool. You are an absolute fool to let Cal McNair and Bill O'Brien continue to profit off of you when they continue to put this whack-ass product on the field every playoff season.
I'm curious for those that were bold enough to step up and call our show, The Bench, and other shows that I heard to say, I'm done with my season tickets. I'm done with all my gear. I'm donating all my stuff. Whatever the case may be, but I'm done with this team until I hear that something's going to be done with Bill O'Brien. Now you hear the exact opposite. I'm curious to see how many more people are jumping on that bandwagon as opposed to their bandwagon.
Somebody says, I wonder, Steve, you remember the website Stucknut that branched off from the Jim Rome show?
I don't.
It was run by a dude named Stephen H-Town on Twitter, and he's a funny guy, great dude. And on the thread where Mark Berman reported it, he was the first comment, and he's like, well, now he can fire the head coach. Now that Bill O'Brien's the GM, he can fire the head coach. Good Lord, you know what? I would be okay with that. If he's just said, I'm just going to be the GM and I'm going to step down and hire a new coach. Oh my God, I would love that. But you know what? He ain't doing that. Bill O'Brien's ego is as big as Reliant Stadium or NRG, whatever the hell it is.
I'm not going to throw it out as it has to be one of two possibilities. I'm going to throw out two possibilities though. One, I'm thinking maybe... you know, Bob McNair had an unbelievable love for Bill O'Brien, and Cal like recognizes that, mm-hmm. and he just has like this loyalty towards Bill O'Brien because of his relationship with his father. The other thing I'm thinking is maybe he's just too cheap and consolidates two positions into one. I don't know if that means Bill O'Brien gets a raise, but maybe it's a money thing. Maybe it's a financial situation. But that's the only two possibilities I can think of right now. I'd like to hear from more people that cover the team, you know, and have conversations with them. But, dude, God, it's really hard to be a fan of this team. And I see your point about not going and, like, I don't mind watching it from TV. and not paying for this ticket, because that ticket is still going to be expensive.
I'm not buying gear, which I don't buy a lot of gear, but I have T-shirts and stuff like
I've
that.
I've seen you in a jersey or two.
No, but I do have Texan shirts and hats and different. No, I'm done with all that. I'm not buying Texan shirts or merch. I'm not because I have family be like, hey, you want to go to a game? I got this. I'm done with the Texans as long as Bill O'Brien is involved.
Go Roughnecks?
Go Chiefs or Packers. I am literally done with this team as long as he's around.
Go Chiefs, bro.
It baffles me that everyone else seems to see it except Cal McNair. What is he paying attention to? Is it the fact that he's like, well, we still sell tickets?
Well, I think one of the things when you read between the lines of his statement, too, is it's exactly what we went back to when we were talking about how we burst the fans' bubbles and thinking that winning matters. As long as they win the division and that sells more gear and the gear is still selling and we mentioned on the show the waiting list is in the tens of thousands, then business is good. And as long as they're not worried about protests with the anthem and kneeling and all the things that they felt was taking money out of their pockets, and sponsorship dollars are still rolling in, the ticket sales are all out the window good, the merchandise is rolling off the shelves, and they can even sell, like, division champs gear, and they can win a playoff game and get another – they got a home playoff game where revenue was even better. He may be all about that dollar and just say, you know what, I'll fake it publicly. I'll tell you. Our next step is to win a world championship. But privately, I'll tell you, we're winning the world championship financially, and that's all that he cares about.
No one else could cuss out their customers like Bill O'Brien did on the way into the tunnel. Bleep you, mother bleeper. You suck, too. Could you imagine if the barista at Starbucks did that to you when he made your latte wrong and went, bro, you suck. You can't make lattes to save your life. And he went, bleep you. You suck, too, mother
that
bleeper.
That definitely has happened to Joel, for sure.
Yeah, I feel that. But
all
I'm just saying
Starbucks
in general.
Those Starbucks vouchers he gets, that's definitely happening.
Those cards.
As opposed to you that can't even say the Foo Foo 8 name drink that you drink with the crushed nuts.
Can what I get a crescent? It? A what? A crescent. A croissant? Whatever.
It's a croissant.
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 But could you imagine if someone else cussed out their customers and then performed as poorly as they did in the divisional round of the playoffs and keep their job? Name me another head coach that could do both of those in the same season and get away with it.
Well, and like we said,
and I realize Andy Reid has crapped the bed in the playoffs before, but Andy Reid has a track record.
But I was going to say, the track record as a coach, we can pick it up. We always do. We pick it apart. We give you all the shortcomings. His first year as a general manager, sure, you can give him kudos for making a big trade that made the team better. But in the process, as we've pointed out, you forgot to sign Laremy Tunsil to an extension.
Yeah.
And now he could walk. And so on top of giving away too many draft picks, you could also lose the guy that you gave him all for. Boy, that's a genius right there.
I don't understand.
You probably don't appreciate it, but it's a great song.
I don't understand the logic that's going on over there in the Texans organization. All I know is they don't want to win. If you do moves like this, you don't want to win. Oh, you don't care about winning. You care about profit.
That's exactly it. Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
All right, 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. Time for you to get in and talk about this and other things in the Houston sports world. 713-780-3776, HRP Lister Line. Call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. Final 60 minutes comes up next. It's right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.